This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Yeah, look like a overcast.
Look at this. It feels like Halloween, doesn't it? The last couple of days here in New York City. It's Barton Hahn coming to you live from ESPN Studios at the Seaport District in New York City. How are we doing, everybody? Yes, Halloween's still a few days away, but kind of getting that feel around these parts anyway. How's the weather by you? We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And Bart, what do you got there? What you
I'm Bart Scott. He's Alan Hahn.
No, you can't reset after I just introduced us. You got to do that.
I'm just trying to get them all out the way.
You can't get them out of the way. The whole idea is that people listen on the radio, and then they jump in at certain times, and they're like, well, who's this show? I've never heard this show before. These guys are quite entertaining.
I'm Ren and he's Stimpy.
I wish they would say their names.
I'm Ren and he's Stimpy.
That's right. I'm Beavis.
I'll be buddy. All right, that's time for Stash Gets Mad.
Yeah, that's right. Be part of Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. McCall online. Call us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice cold Dr. Pepper. It's the one fans deserve. So, as we get set for the next week of football, and we talk about the different teams and, you know, whether teams are heading in the right direction, the wrong direction. It just feels like the Packers are certainly heading in the wrong direction. And Aaron Rodgers is making it clear to, like, you know, don't look at me. It ain't my fault. And maybe it's time to make some changes around here. He's been hinting to this, Bart Scott. Well, where else does he go when he wants to get his message out other than the Pat McAfee show? Listen to his choice of words as he talks about what needs to happen in Green Bay.
You have to really be cognizant of when is the right time to speak and when is the right time to listen. There are times to listen, and then there are times where you've heard enough. And now it's start time. It's that time to really crack the whip a little bit. You know, guys who are making too many mistakes shouldn't be playing. Got to start cutting some reps. Yeah, maybe guys who aren't playing, give them a chance.
As a teammate, how would you feel about these quotes?
I mean, I've heard Chris Canty's.
Well, let's just get yours first.
Rebuttal.
We'll hear Chris in a minute.
For me, I understand what he's saying. Like, at some point, you know, you're the coaching or allowing to happen, and it has to be consequences to your actions. If you continue to have MAs, what we call MAs, and I know later in the interview, McAfee went there. If you have MAs, then, you know, we got to put you down because your mistakes are costing the team. And
MAs?
Misassignments. So, I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah, MAs.
That's why I asked.
You know, MAs, loafs, loafs or right. MEs.
Generally,
MEs are mental errors.
Right, okay. So, those are all things. Those are things that are not related to, like physical ability.
Do your job.
Right, exactly.
Know your job.
MA means you didn't run the route the right way, or
right.
Aaron Rodgers did not see the
you ran the wrong
first
route,
target, or whatever it is.
And a lot of times, when he said talks about simplifying things, I don't know, but I know a lot of receivers have this built in. They have to read the coverage. I know Eli Manning, when he was with his longtime offense coordinator, got his name. Start with a G.
Gilbride?
Gilbride.
Yeah.
It was about running and being able to read the coverages as you're running. You run and you can see if the safeties rotate. That requires a different level of football acumen than just you got a nine route, you got a go route, because it changes based on man zone, what type of zone you have as far as sitting into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it sounds like, you know, Aaron Rodgers is accustomed to dealing with a level of receiver that has a level of football acumen. That's why we always harp on why it was so important for him to spend time with these receivers. If you're going to have a offensive system that's nuanced, then you have to have guys that can think it. But if you don't know it because you come from a college that you didn't have these type of requirements to be a good receiver, then you have to learn it. And you who better than the guy throwing you the ball? So now he's almost complaining after the fact, and he's saying guys got to give other guys opportunities. Well, who are those guys? Christian Watson is hurt. Every time, you know, Sammy Watkins comes back, he's injured. everybody else has been there. It's nobody else to give an opportunity.
Randall Cobb got hurt, right, so he's not there.
Right, you mean to tell me you got somebody on a practice squad?
And even well, if, Romeo Doubs is who he's probably talking about.
Basically, right? And you don't think Romeo Doubs feels that?
That's what I'm asking you.
And like,
how does this not create for Romeo Doubs this place where now taking criticism from one of the great players? Are you expect him to be comfortable and relaxed catching a football at this point?
He's going to go into a cave because now everybody knows it. So now when he goes out in a community, which is Green Bay, which is a small community, everybody's looking at him. Everybody's asking him. And then I can imagine the Green Bay fans feel emboldened because they feel like they own the team. So if they see you out, they got a comment about your play. Mm. Like, look, bro, I don't come to McDonald's and tell you how to flip burgers. So don't tell me how to catch a football.
Well, this sounds so similar. And by the way, Greg Jennings, who was obviously, you know, once catching passes from Aaron Rodgers, he was, this is from Fox Sports, he said, you can't do this. He said, you can't sit down and start talking about who should and shouldn't be playing because of mental errors. He's like, that's not your job. That's not what you should be doing. And you mentioned Chris Canty. So the aforementioned Chris Canty, who you can hear on Canty and Carlin also, you saw him on Get Up today. He was on KJM this morning as well. He said the same thing. Like, Aaron, play quarterback.
Aaron Rodgers, I respect you as the quarterback of the team, but you're not the head coach of the team. You're not. And it feels like there's an overstep when it comes to some of the public commentary that he's making about what's going on. And that, to me, is a poor leadership style. And then, taking it a step further, a couple of weeks ago, he also said he had this glowing relationship with Brian Gutekunst. And if we need to make a move at the trade deadline, I'm pretty confident that we're going to do that. Aaron Rodgers, you're the quarterback, bro. You're not the head coach. You're not the GM. You talk about not usurping the authority of your head coach, but it sure doesn't feel like you respect his authority when you make these kind of public comments. Because you're throwing your teammates under the bus, and then you're throwing the bus in reverse and backing up over them. And these are guys that you're going to need in order to get to where you want to go.
Yeah, I think, you know, I just think he feels empowered to say these things,
and he wants to say these things, and it sounds
very similar to another all-time great in a different sport who's been doing the same thing. And actually did it after the first game of the season. Who am I talking about?
LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron James. LeBron did the same exact thing. They lose to the Warriors in the season opener. And then they just keep losing. And they're not a good team. And you remember what he said, too, that we're not a team that's constructed with great shooting. Right? Remember when he said that?
Yeah.
He said, it's not like we're sitting here with a lot of lasers or anything. He basically is calling out the construction of the roster and essentially saying, this is no good and we got to fix it.
Yeah.
And how do you fix it? Well, they all know that Russell Westbrook doesn't fit. But he's basically calling out Rob Pelinka. Say, how do we start a season with this kind of a group? We're not built to win. Like, he's saying that publicly. The one thing LeBron won't do is talk about who should play and who shouldn't play. As people asked him about Russell Westbrook and how bad he is and what decision he made here, I'm not touching that because he's learned in the past. But what is one thing that we've seen from LeBron that I think Aaron Rodgers never had to deal with until now? LeBron, if you remember, when he went back to Cleveland, what did he do? What was the first thing? And everybody says,
Trey,
he didn't do this, but he did. Yes. All the kids, out. Give me some vets. I can only work with vets because they get it. I don't have time to wait for a young player to develop. I don't have time to teach. It's not my job. I want to win. I want to win now. Get me vets. Aaron Rodgers is saying essentially the same exact thing. I don't have time to take these guys under my wing and teach them and bring them along. My clock is ticking. I want to win. That's why he wanted Randall Cobb back because Randall Cobb gets it. He knows what I want. That's why he wanted vets.
But he has Sammy Watkins. But this is the thing.
Well, he's saying that Sammy's probably not good enough.
See, but
he's begging for veterans. He's begging for guys who I don't have to school. I don't have to teach them. They'll be ready. I take care of me. They take care of them. And on Sunday, they do what they're supposed to do, and they're where I need them to be. That's what Aaron Rodgers is essentially saying here. But is he right to say it?
But here's the thing, right? They went and got him veterans. Sammy Watkins, top 10 pick. Alan Lazard was a guy that was in the system. Randall Cobb, usually you go with three starting receivers.
True.
So they thought they were giving them veterans and a mixture of young talent that can learn behind these guys.
But he's saying it wasn't enough.
Well, that's his fault because his time to speak up and make a decision was to be around during the OTA so he can say, yo, these dudes can't really – it's going to take a little longer than what I think. And I can't get these guys ready to where I need them to be by the start of the season. So let's go out and make a move before – or how about before the free agency and the draft? Let's go out and make some moves But because he didn't go there and work with these guys, because he was out in the teepee, you know, violently throwing up and pooping everywhere into the woods and wiping his butt with a leaf.
Sharing,
you know, while he was doing that, he wasn't evaluating the skill set of the players that he had around him. So that's a you problem. So now he's trying to, and now, you know, the reports are that they're out there trying to find somebody, but they want somebody on a rookie deal. Right? They're looking at Nelson Aguilar. They're looking for all these pieces of these other places. The problem is you're bottom picking. And the problem is other teams is doing the same thing that you're doing. When they had other issue, you know, things to address, you could have got your veteran. So you've wasted too much time by being so arrogant in your skill set that you think that you can make anybody good and not realizing that maybe it was a little bit more about Greg Jennings than you gave him credit for.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was a little something more Devontae to Jordy Nelson than you gave him credit for. Maybe, yeah, you did help him along, but they were going to be good players regardless, and these guys aren't them.
How do we fix it? That's always the thing. How do we fix it? We bring in our guy, our main fixer, our front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum, in a couple of seconds here. And maybe he has some answers for us about the Packers and some other teams as well. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so the aforementioned Mike Tannenbaum joining us right now. And Mike T, I do want to get to it because we have the trade deadline coming up Tuesday, so I do want to get to a couple other teams. But let's just go with where we've been talking about, and that is the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers clearly not satisfied with what's around him. And we can get into the debate about pointing the finger, pointing the thumb, and all that other stuff. But let's just focus on their roster and that we can all agree it is not good enough. So what can be done, Mike? What can be done before Tuesday to make the Packers better, to make Aaron Rodgers happy, and to see if they could get back to being a contender?
I would go get Jerry Jeudy. He's young. He can run. He's very talented. And if they have to give up a second or third round pick, who cares? You have a legend at quarterback. And, you know, right now their young receivers aren't playing well enough. And for reasons that are probably more his fault than any, I agree with Bart. But I would go with Jerry Jeudy, guys.
Bart, what do you think about Jerry Jeudy?
Jerry Jeudy is a great talent, probably one of the best route running receivers in the game. But he has a case of the dropsies too, so I can see that. I can see him getting mad with the case of the dropsies. I want to mention a name, and a lot of people kind of are overlooking his name. And I know that I'm trying to make matchmaker. I want to be Chuck Woolery today. Love connection. I want to try and make a perfect love pairing. So. At the probably a couple of weeks ago, we noted the Buffalo Bills looked in at CMC. CMC is a guy that, you know, they need a guy to get more productivity.
Christian McCaffrey,
inside of the passing game, but also you need a great running back, somebody that can get you yards on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a blessing that CMC went to San Francisco because I think the better player for the Buffalo Bills that would make them, I would put, if they get this player, I would put all my money down on them to win the Super Bowl right now and wouldn't even blink a bat eye. Kareem Hunt to the Buffalo Bills.
Why are we doing that? I thought you were talking about the Packers.
No, I'm talking about
we're jumping into another one.
Yeah, yeah. All because right. I think
I got lost for a second.
We're talking
there.
About Tuesday.
Like, I want to bring up a name. I'm like, for who?
I think okay. I think Kareem Hunt
to the Bills.
His ability to run in between the tackles and his contact balance, but also his ability to catch the ball, I think it would be the perfect pairing, even better than CMC, because I think he's a better, tougher runner in between the tackles.
I think it's really interesting. Good pass protector, maybe has a little bit better hands than we think. I'd rather have CMC, but if I can't get him, I think Kareem Hunt's it's a good runner-up sort of prize, and he certainly should be a lot less expensive than CMC.
That's a very interesting name, no doubt about it. Mike Tannenbaum joining us right now. Mike, how about the Baltimore Ravens and where they are right now? I mean, they are tied for first place in their division, but they're 4-3. Fourth quarter issues continue for Lamar Jackson. If there's something that can be done in a trade for them, what would it be?
You know, I'm going to go with the same position. I'm going to go with Melvin Gordon. You know, right now Lamar Jackson's their leading receiver. Their second leading receiver is Kenyon Drake. They need more production out of their running game. I think that'll help their secondary because if they could close out games, be able to actually pass the score and run to win. So if I could, I would add Melvin Gordon, and you know he's on the disappointing Broncos. I would think he would be available, and you know you certainly could talk about getting a corner, like maybe a guy like Kenny Moore of the Colts, you know, who's probably not happy, Greedy Williams of the Browns. But job one for me would be getting a running back for the Ravens.
Now, last year we saw a team in the Los Angeles Rams just abandon all caution to the wind and say, we're pushing all our chips into the middle of the table. Do you foresee a team like that that's going to push their chips all the way into the middle of the table and say, damn the future right now, the present is now, and this is what I care about?
You know, Green made a great point before, which is, you know, Jerry Jones is 80 years old. He probably can't buy green bananas anymore. And, you know, here's a team that has a championship defense, got their starting quarterback back. So maybe it's Odell Beckham Jr., amongst others. But if there's a team like that, Bart, I would say maybe it's the Cowboys this year.
Feels like it would be the Cowboys. Mike T., how about the Giants? Talk about a team that, like, you know, you're at 6-1. What are you? Where are you? Are they a team that says, you know what, we're 6-1. Let's go all in. Let's make a deal. Or should they be cautious about cap space and obviously, you know, keeping assets to build from where they are?
Yeah, I would be a little bit more cautious there. When your leading receiver is Richie James, you got a long way to go. And let's face it, Brian Daboll's done a great job there. They won a lot of close games. But I think they're more than one piece away. They got to get their young skill players going. Wandell Robinson, Kadarius Toney, you know, Kenny Golladay hasn't produced after he came over on a big contract. So I think job one for the Giants is to get some of these young skill players going.
Now, when you look at around the league, and I'm trying to figure out, like, because I've never been in a situation you have where the trade deadline is Tuesday and you're a team that's on the brink. How do you make that decision about do you start selling off assets or do you double down and hope that you can get it going in the second half of the season? Like, is it any team this week that are teetering on, if we win, we go all in. If we lose, it's time to sell off some of these pieces?
Yeah, I mean, that's why they moved the trade deadline back, because more teams are, in theory, still potentially in it, Bart. And then, you know, you combine that with the fact that 7 teams make the playoffs. I think more and more teams are going to be reticent to, you know, let somebody go. Now, look, you know, Kenny Moore, for example, hard for me to think the Colts are going to be competitive this year. Greedy Williams, you know, they may say, like, hey, look, we're going to get Deshaun Watson back. Maybe we'll hold on to him. So every situation is going to be different, but I think that's one of the things we're seeing moving the trade deadline back is more teams probably have a little bit more hope.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny you bring that up. Like, a team that I'd be watching would probably be the game in London. Watch. I mean, if the Broncos lose again to Jackson, if they lose to Jacksonville, aren't you, like you mentioned Jerry Jeudy, you mentioned Melvin Gordon. I mean, wouldn't that signal like, all right, you know what? You know, we probably should get some assets together and focus on the offseason, wouldn't you, at 2-6?
Yeah, and Alan, take it a step further, because of everything they had to give up for Russell Wilson,
right?
They're going to need as many draft choices as possible.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Mike Tannenbaum joining us here. Let's just go through a couple other teams, and one, of course, close to our hearts, the New York Jets. First and foremost, what did you think of them getting James Robinson, not as a replacement, just as a reaction to losing Breece Hall for the season?
You know, I think it sends the right message to the locker room. You know, Bart, you've been there, you know, when the teams try and do everything they can to win. Look, he's not going to be the difference between them getting in or not, but he's a good player. So I think it sent the right message. I thought that was a good move.
I was hoping that they would have got Kareem Hunt, but I think the price tag is too high.
Might have been.
You know, one the fourth round draft pick for Kareem Hunt, and you know, coming off. When you look at the Jets, you know, do you think they should make a trade, or you think they should be in the business of Laremy Tunsil, with Laremy Tunsil and how much that cap hit is going to be next year? It's a guy you're familiar with,
you know,
right?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I feel like we're talking about like my left tackles here. So, you know, on Sunday, proudly, DeBrickenshaw Ferguson is going into the Jet Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
He was my first pick as the Jets GM, and now we're talking about Laremy Tunsil, somebody that we drafted in Miami. He's a great left tackle. He has really, really good feet, guys. I think he's more of a Band-Aid. I think he could be the long-term solution for the Jets at left tackle for a number of years. So, you know, we know there's questions about Becton. We know there's questions about Dwayne Brown, given age and injury. So I think Tunsil makes a ton of sense for them because, again, what I like when we make some of these trades that we're talking about, you know, they're not Band-Aids guys. These are, you know, Jerry Jeudy could be a 3 to 4 year player. Kenny Moore, 3 to 4 year player. You know, surely Kareem Hunt. So I like when these moves are more than just Band-Aids.
What would Tunsil cost the Jets at this point?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say probably a second-round pick, I would think.
And you'd say that's fully worth it to, if you're going to plug that hole for good, right? Because they could argue back, well, we have Fant who could play left tackle. We do have Becton who we drafted who's supposed to be, you know, part of that,
he can
that
also
solution
play,
as well.
He can also play guard.
I mean, you know, but is this, like, Mike, it sounds like you would do it. Second-round pick, you would do it in a heartbeat. He's 28 years old.
Yeah,
so
because
you got an older guy.
Yeah, because you're that. Yeah, because here's why, guys. You're not going to get a better player in the second round than Larrabee Tunsil. Larrabee has really strong hands. He has great feet, good knee bend, great athlete. He is definitely a guy that there's no way you're going to get someone better in the second round.
Very interesting. I'm just checking quickly his contract situation.
Well, next year he's top five.
Yeah,
he's top five cap space. But if
jumps
it's a left tackle,
18-5.
But if it's a left tackle, he's worth it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can also, man, people are like, well, you got Langton Thomas and Vera Tucker. Could you imagine a line that has Laramie Tunsil and Becton on the right side? But if you keep Fant, you know, Langton Tomlinson can move to center. He's played center before, so he can put Becton right there, left side, strong side. If he doesn't get his act together, at what point do you kind of give up on Becton? Is next year the last year where you just kind of give up on him as a player?
Yeah, I mean, we're close to it. I think the inverse is, like, how can we go into next year and say, hey, we could count this guy to be a 17-game left tackle, and that's why they're hard to find. If you could get Larrabee Tunsil, again, I'm not looking at him as a Band-Aid. I'm saying, hey, we got our left tackle. His name's Larrabee Tunsil now. Hey, maybe Becton's our swing guy. Yeah. You know, again, Dwayne Brown's a Band-Aid. And I give the Jets credit for getting Dwayne Brown because, again, when you have an injury like that in August, it's just hard. And that's why, like, to me, Tunsil's interesting because I think he has a lot of good years left, and he's a great athlete. I know him well. He's one of my favorites. He's really a great kid. He's really football is important to him. And I think as we play the game in 2022 and we talk about what do we need out of our left tackle, I think he's ideal.
I love it. So we got Tunsil going to the Jets. We got Melvin Gordon going to the Ravens. We got Jerry Jeudy going to the Packers.
Kareem Hunt
to the Bills. This is how you do a trade deadline. Love it.
Yeah, and you bury the lead. You guys are going to be on Fox Sports 1. We traded you for a cup of coffee. So Bart and Han, you know, part of all this trading going on.
Going to L.A.?
Hey,
first of all,
we get a 15% trade kicker, so I'm okay with that.
Oh, man, I just got my Wawa credit card.
Hey, Al, no one ever said you guys were salary cap friendly.
Hey, not my problem at this point. You signed us. Mike, always good to talk to you, my man. Take care.
All right. See you guys.
Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN NFL front office insider. See, that's fun playing trade deadline stuff.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the NFL, it's not the same as in other leagues where you can make a couple of trades and rework, and all of a sudden your season just changes.
Well, last year with the Rams.
Or can you?
Right,
exactly. So we've got your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN.
Should we play matchmaker with our callers?
I, that's what I was just going to say. Oh. You read my mind. Trades that you would like to see your team make. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll play Trade Grader. You give us your trade, and we'll tell you what grade we'd give it if it can get done. You know what else we have to do as we get closer to Halloween? This is going to be a spooky Barstradamus coming up next. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Bart and Han.
That's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We will play Grade the Trade. We were just talking trades with Mike Tannenbaum before the trade deadline for the NFL, which is Tuesday. So if you have a trade, a deal that you want to see your team make, let us know and we'll grade it for you. So that's coming up. You have that to look forward to, of course. But right now, as we are heading into Halloween weekend, today is a Halloween-themed version of Bartstradamus. Set the mood, Bart.
Oh, yes. I know Michael very well. He's not man enough to go on the streets with me, Michael. I would have killed during Halloween 1. You're on season 18. You still can't catch a slow white woman? How can you be a threat to me? Oh, yes. The power's in the urn.
Well, Barstadamus, let's focus on the NFL. Let the power be in what you are foreseeing. Let's begin with this one. What team with a losing record will rise from the dead this weekend?
Oh, what's little green and finally has his wingman?
Little green wingman. I know. Can't get that one.
Kyler Murray has his protector. His pockets are green. He's tiny, and now he's mean. B-Hop is back. All is well. The NFC West made a grave mistake not to pad the stats, as now the Arizona Cardinals are within striking distance. One game from 500. Oh, yes. Rise, my child. Rise. Stand up. Oh, you are. You're just that little.
That's so wrong.
Apologies.
But so funny.
Little one.
Where's their game? Oh, they're at Minnesota. That's a tough one.
They always beat Minnesota.
I like it.
The only thing is the solar power Kirk Cousins will have the benefit of the sun.
The 1 o'clock start,
Oh, it's at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock
Eastern. Which makes it a little bit more difficult.
Cardinals are 3-4. So are the Niners, by the way. Rams at 3-3, and then Seattle's 4-3. So, boy, what an interesting game that suddenly becomes for Arizona. So, okay, you expect the Cardinals to rise from the dead. How about this? Let's get a little haunted from their past. Will Dennis Allen be haunted by his past? Remember, he did coach the Raiders. New Orleans is hosting the Raiders, in case you were wondering. New Orleans is 2-5. Raiders 2-4.
Oh, the Stooge. Scrooge, I'm sorry.
Oh, Scrooge? The Stooge.
The Scrooge.
I was wondering where you were going with the Stooge.
Bill Murray's my favorite. The Ghost of Christmas Past.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shall haunt. I had to shake my magic eight ball. Shall hunt Dennis Allen as the lonely, lonely Raiders of Vegas have found their offense. And oh, it's not through Devontae Adams. Darren Waller, neither.
Who is
Jacobs is running for his life.
The running game.
Free agency is pending. One of the top rushers of week number 6. Oh, yes. Andy Dalton. Jameis Wamis. It doesn't matter. Oh, they're so horrible.
Okay.
Dennis Allen could be one and done.
Oh, no. Another one? All right. Keep that one in mind. For some reason, Barstadamus just revealed that Dennis Allen could be a one and done coach in New Orleans. So save that one. Meanwhile, as we continue at Barstadamus on Bart and Hahn, another haunting, perhaps. Geno Smith. Seahawks play the 6-1 Giants. Geno Smith was once the Giants' backup quarterback. Which of these two will be haunted by their past?
You called Geno. Oh, but he didn't call back, though. Geno.
Mm-hmm.
This game shall feature a running back with a future so bright. The future of the position. And his name isn't Saquon.
No.
Kenneth Walker the III.
Nice.
He's so mean. I used to watch him when he was in Green. The former Michigan State running back was on the heels of Breece Hall far, far before the injury. 168 yards last week. 22 miles on the odometer. Oh, are you ready for the smoke as Big Blue falls? to Geno because he picked up the call.
That's a big one, too. The Giants with a loss at Seattle. Okay, and it's not really Geno that will haunt them, but more of the running game. All right, we'll leave it right there, Barstradamus. And now we have your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Happy Halloween, Barstradamus.
Huh? He's gone.
Oh, he's gone. All right, your call's next, Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. When Barstradamus said stand up, oh, you are so disrespectful.
Such a tiny man.
We got your calls, and we're playing the game because the trade deadline's Tuesday, and we were just talking with Mike T about some trades that he would like to see made. Bart had a couple as well, and we thought, you know what? What do the people think? So we'll play a little grade the trade. You give us a trade that you'd like to see your team make, and we'll grade it for you. Let us begin with Jason in Pennsylvania. Jason.
Hey, Bart. How's it? Bart and Hahn, how you doing?
What's up?
I just wanted to get your opinion on this trade for Aaron Rodgers. It's not really a vet, but I want him out of Pittsburgh, and he needs a good quarterback, a well-established quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. Chase Claypool to the Packers.
Chase
Claypool. I feel it would be a good fit for him.
Yeah, Chase needs a – after a great rookie year, man.
Yeah.
And they want somebody that's still on their rookie year, deal, and he fits a need for them because he also can block in the running game. Can you imagine having him and Lazard out there at 6'4 plus? He needs to mature a little bit.
Would Pittsburgh – do you think Pittsburgh's ready to move on?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Pittsburgh, because you got to think, they already got Deontay Jones, and they already have they got Deontay Jones, and who's the other? And George Pickens. And George Pickens, yeah. Who they just drafted
from
Georgia.
That's right. Yeah. So, well, you know, is a talent.
Yeah, so they can get him because that Pittsburgh knows that they need some more draft picks to build his football team.
Interesting. All right, so what do you want to grade that one? That's a good one.
Get that a B minus.
I'm gonna give that a B. Yeah, I don't mind that one at all. Q's in Michigan. What's up, Q?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call. So, I've maybe played too much Madden, but I got a blockbuster for my Broncos.
Give it to
me. I'm over this Russell Wilson mess. Let's get rid of him. Throw in Jerry Jeudy. Send him to the Bears. I've wanted Justin Fields since his draft day. Let's grab him and Roquan Smith for Russell Wilson and Jerry Jeudy.
just straight up?
All right, that's a fun one. That's an out of reality one, though, but I like it. I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah, you can't, when you pay a quarterback that much money, you can't trade
him. The Bears, though, wasn't the Bears in on Russ 2 years ago?
Maybe.
I believe that they thought they had a deal, and then in the end, Seattle didn't do it.
Maybe.
So there was interest, but it was the previous regime.
Yeah, this is Eberflus.
But there's no way that
you can't trade somebody when you pay them that much money. The cap hit too hard.
Yeah, you can't put that big of a contract into a deal.
I think Russ has a no-cut trade clause.
Still fun, though.
Got his own office.
More trade tracker coming next.
Bart and Hahn.
They put the light on, in other words.
Yeah, so get this. Let's see this tweet. So yeah, Russell Wilson apparently worked out and stretched for 4 of the 8 hours on the flight from Denver to London as the Broncos are playing Jacksonville this week, Sunday. Now you're like, well, how would anybody in the media know about this? He said he was doing high knees in the aisle when the rest of the guys were asleep. So I guess
we can be outwork you. How about we play last week?
Well, you guys rested. I'm getting ready.
Bro, first of all,
I mean first of all,
you probably stink. You've been working out. I hope you got some wet wipes or some dude wipes.
Dude wipes,
or
yeah.
Some KFC wet naps for the honey barbecue chicken wings or something like the Nashville Hots. Like, bro, who? Like, you such a corn. Like, bro, first of all, like, the media is on the plane, too, so they can see somebody up in the upper class doing some high knees.
Media's on the same plane to London?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I would think so. Yeah, they take the whole staff. Yeah, they always sit behind you.
Maybe the broadcast crew, like,
No, but reporters,
radio,
reporters
are
there. Uh-huh. When we used to fly, like, Janae and them used to be in the back.
No, print media you're talking about, though.
Yeah. They'd be back there.
Not sure.
They tend to ride over the plane so big. But anyway, like, what a cornball. And then trying to make himself seem like he's doing something his teammates aren't doing. Like, I wish they would have hit a turbulence and hit his ham head and flatten his little high top. And then the pilot put the seatbelt sign on after. Like, come on, man.
That's just one of those you read it and you just start laughing. 888-SAY ESPN.
Right out of a comic book, Paul.
It's Bart and Han, presented by Progressive Insurance. We got news from Bart and Han Nation. Let's see where we go next. How about David in Virginia hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line? What's up, David?
Gentlemen, I want to see one of two trades going to the Miami Dolphins. First, I want to forget about Larrabee Tunsil going to the Jets or go to the Dolphins. And let's protect Tua a little bit more than he's being protected.
Did he start there?
Better, but
yeah, he started there. He's going to take it. You going to bring him back?
He started there.
I want him back.
You going to bring him back? You gave up all that stuff for him. Now you're going to come back and pay all that money.
I know. I want him back.
I want him back.
I hear you, David.
We'll admit our mistake.
Dude, what about Armstead?
I'm sorry?
What about Armstead?
I know we got Armstead. Well, you know what? It'd be nice to have two Armsteads, wouldn't it?
David, getting greedy. What are we grading this one? Let's grade the trade.
It's unrealistic because you never, after you gave up so much.
I want him back, he said. I love that, David. I love the energy. I know. I want him back.
You would have to give back some of the ones.
You know what he doesn't want? He doesn't want the Jets getting him. See, David's also playing defense there. So grade the trade. Grade it.
I give it a B.
You're going to give it a B?
It's because it's not realistic.
Well, then you give it a lesson. I was going to go C+ because I love the effort, but we all know that ain't going to happen. All right, let's continue. More news from Bart and Han Nation. We got Donald in Kentucky hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call online. Donald?
Yeah, I'm from Kentucky, the land of hands.
Land of hands, that's right, baby. We love it.
I'm from Muhammad Ali, the land of hands. And I'd like to propose a trade. I am a lifelong Steelers fan, and I say we should trade Dan Quinn or Mike Tomlinson. I'm tired of being just pretty good. Because being pretty good just gets you pretty good draft players. We've been missed on the last couple of drafts. And we either need to be very terrible or very good. And I think Dan Quinn would be perfect. Mike Tomlin would be good for Dallas. He can go back to his roots and be a defensive coordinator because I'm tired of mediocre.
You want to demote him? You won a Super Bowl. He's the winningest coach in the history.
Donald doesn't
have a losing season.
Donald feels like the Steelers are on a treadmill. So even though it's a hypothetical trade, you don't trade coaches.
You do. Herm Edwards. Trades to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, for picks.
I think if you're going to get Mike Tomlin to Dallas, I think you're going to get more than just a one-for-one with Dan Quinn. You might have to set up a first-round draft pick.
He's a head coach.
Yeah, Herm went for a first-round draft pick.
Mike Tomlin. Yeah, so did Bill Belichick, by the way.
Stop.
Mike Tomlin. And I mean, is there something to be said about that?
Dan Quinn is a
But never mind that. I'm talking about what he's saying.
Yeah,
what he was saying about the Steelers and how he's tired of they don't draft well. They do draft talent.
They got Kenny Pickett. They got TJ. They drafted TJ Watt.
They do draft talent. But he's saying is that it's too many years now where they're sort of just on this treadmill. I think Roethlisberger was part of the reason for that treadmill.
Yeah, that's true.
They kind of had to play out his career.
And his contract was so overbearing.
Right?
Then they lost the 3Bs.
And now they're stuck in that place of, right, and then the 3Bs moved on. So they were very competitive but didn't get a championship out of that group. And then it's, all right, now you have to reset, find your quarterback, and then try to get back. It's not Mike Tomlin.
Dan Quinn couldn't win with Matty Ice. How you going to win with
Kenny Pickett? But that's what he wanted.
But how you going to win with Kenny Pickett?
No, but that's what he wanted. He wanted that. That's what he was talking about.
He wants to be bad.
The caller was saying, we need to be bad so we can get better draft picks.
Oh, so Mike Tomlin is too good of a coach to be bad enough for us to get what we need.
Too good to coach a bad team. Yeah, and that's certainly a problem. Isaac's in New York. Isaac.
Yeah, I love the show. Just want to, you were speaking of Tannenbaum before. Everybody keeps on bringing up the Packers for Jerry Jeudy or Aguilar, that rookie deal. Why don't the Giants make a move? Yeah, it's a disgrace. I feel like I could play wide receiver for them. Maybe give up a 4 and a 6 or a 3 and a 7. I don't know what those teams would be asking for to bring in maybe a Jerry Jeudy to New York. What do you guys think?
What do you think
that?
Of Jerry Jeudy instead of going to the Packers, have him with the Giants instead of other options like a DJ Moore or something like that?
Yeah, they may take. Denver might take back Kadarius Toney because he's not playing, but if he ever plays, he's a beast.
You know what?
And it gives you somebody right now.
And Wondell Robinson's actually, he's playing, and now and he's sort of the same idea that Kadarius Toney was, right? Yeah. So would Jerry Jeudy be a better fit with the Giants?
Yeah. How about Jerry Jeudy to the Ravens?
Okay. I mean, there's a lot of options you could have here.
There's a lot of
Denver's going to be. We said it earlier. Or at least Barshadama said it. Denver's going to be in a real. No, we said it with Mike T.
Yeah.
Denver's going to be in a. If they don't beat Jacksonville,
2-6.
It's not a home game. You're in London. It's going to be weird. you know, Russ comes back off of whatever injury this was supposed to be, and he's doing jumping jacks on the plane.
They got no picks. They got to get picks.
Right. But if they lose this game, if you're Denver, don't you have to just
– Yeah.
It's time.
2-6.
Sell off some pieces and get yourself back into the draft.
Start thinking about next year.
And the reality of we have Russ. We have a quarterback. We've got to get more skill.
I saw somewhere reports where they said that, you know, Nathaniel Hackett could be a one-and-done guy.
Yeah, I've seen that too. I don't know how accurate it is, but we'll see. We'll keep the calls rolling. And also, is there anything the Packers can do to help Aaron Rodgers?
Bart and Han.